Bet you a nickel you'll laugh at this movie. This is Odds and Evens on Stinker Madness.
Stinker Madness. Stinker Madness. Stinker Madness. We got the Stinker Madness.
Hello and welcome to Stinker Madness. I'm your host, Justin. Jackie and Sam are here. They look like Jackie and Sam.
Want a bet?
I want to
put it all on black, Sam. Put it all on black.
Always bet on black. This is the podcast where we watch a bad movie. We talk about a bad movie, not for the sake of hating the bad movie, but for loving the bad movie.
Unless it sucks.
Unless it sucks. This movie does not suck.
Does not suck.
It's a lot of fun. Before we get into this movie, how are you guys doing?
My feet are very cold.
Okay. Still chilly. Still chilly. This is a week in the future, so fans that are listening, think of Jackie's feet in the past. It's cold.
I also got new snow boots to assist with this coldness.
Mm-hmm.
Feet of future past.
Yeah. You know, it keeps the ankles pretty good, but that rubber on the bottom of, by your toes... not enough insulation.
Plus, Magneto's a huge dick and a huge problem for toes.
Yeah.
Huh.
Sam, how are you doing?
I'm fine.
Life good?
I pulled my groin.
Tell me a story about your carport.
Well, there was some very capable gentlemen that cleaned the tops of my carport.
Okay. You live in an apartment complex.
I live in an apartment complex, and I've got one of those luxuries that you can have... they call it that, which is covered parking.
Sure.
Yes.
It's a big deal in an apartment complex.
It can be.
Most people don't have that.
Most people don't have it. Well, the snow got so high and wet that it was getting heavy, and they had to get cleaned off the top of the covered parking. And the very capable gentlemen that were cleaning that off just sort of got it all off of the top of the carports from behind. So they just build mountains of snow behind everybody's car. Then fucking left. So I've been trapped in my apartment complex for like 43 hours or something like that.
That's worse than if they hadn't done anything at all. Because A, you're trapped, and B, you don't get a new car when your carport collapses.
Exactly. Which I don't know. I'm figuring there's probably some insurance way of getting it. Like, oh, you needed to have X clause on your car insurance. Otherwise, the property insurance doesn't count or some bullshit. But either way, yeah, it was a real dick move.
This weather is impossible. It's getting out of control. We are tired of it. I like to bitch about it. My back is out. I have to lean back in my desk chair just to record right now with the microphone very precariously positioned on my bookshelf. It's also affecting this podcast because we are 3 days late on recording this.
We are.
We can't even get any fucking SMAPFA work done. None. Because anytime we get together, we're late on whatever we fucking do.
If we can even, I pride myself in being the snow cat as well. I'm able to negotiate situations of snow for the most part, but this is when a bunch of guys build a mountain behind my fucking car and I can't get out. I mean, that's just, what the hell, man?
It's, I don't know what it is. It's like an episode of like some ridiculous television show, but nobody's ever made that ridiculous television show episode because you actually have to have too much snow to make that episode.
It's a Neil Simon play without any silver linings.
There you go. There you go.
That's what we're experiencing right now.
We're serious. We're going to be in mid-February to do the SMAPFAs.
Something like that, yeah.
I have to get rides to work. So, you know what? It sucks to be you that you got trapped, but I have to get rides like a teenager.
I can trump that. I have a blister on my hand.
Oh, Jesus.
From shoveling snow. No, seriously. I have a blister on my hand from shoveling snow. Now, the last time I had a blister, I was in college and had to do manual labor. You say, Sam, the last time you had a blister.
15 years ago was a post hole digger, and it was a lot of fucking post holes.
Jackie, when was the last time you had a blister on your hand? Ever?
I don't want to answer that.
Ooh. Uh-oh. You are giving Swedish massages.
Sensual massage.
No, I, Not since I was very young.
Yeah, right.
I don't like manual labor, so I don't do it.
Right. And see, now, here's the thing is I don't think that we're speaking about anything that's going to alienate our fans, because I'm going to make a judgment call about the people that are listening to this podcast right now. I don't see a lot of manual laborers being fans of shitty movies.
You don't know that.
That would go and listen to a podcast about the movie that they love so much.
I don't know. Like, in your defense, you've moved thousands of pounds of snow before getting a blister, so it's not like you're lightweighting it either.
No. I have a legitimate blister on my hand.
You should post a picture of the fucking mountain.
I would like to hear
Stinker Madness's website.
Oh, Douche Mountain?
And just the one in your front yard where you had to put all the snow.
Oh, okay. Multiple douche.
Mountains.
What's that called? When you have a mountain chain?
Range?
Yeah, isn't that called, like, isn't there one savvy word for it? Like, snappy? Like,
I don't know.
Well, you buttes?
Could, yeah, you could do it like that.
Douche
or you
buttes?
You could give yourself, like, a cool name, like Suavo, and then keep Douche Mountain, so you call it the Suavo Douchey Range, and take a picture of it and put it on the internet.
All right, fans, there's your challenge. We want to hear from you. Text us. Don't text us. Text us. No, that's not a thing. What is it when you post to us?
Tweet,
comment? Tweet?
Comment?
Yeah,
email
whatever.
Us.
Yeah, email us. Talk at Stinker Madness. Stinker Madness at facebook.com/Stinker Madness at Stinker Madness on Twitter. When was the last time you had a blister? And even if you have to lie and church up a good story, we'll read it on the air.
And it'll be more recently than Donald Trump, I'm sure.
Oh, Jesus. That man can lift a shovel.
That man would try to shovel and die.
What are you
die.
Talking about? He has nothing but the best shovels, and he lifts them higher.
He's got huge hands for huge shovels.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into odds and evens. Odds and evens from what year again, Sam?
78.
78, starring
Terrence Hill and Bud Spencer.
Starring Terrence Hill and Bud Spencer.
Who are fake names for Italian gentlemen.
Directed by Sergio Corbucci.
Yep.
Written by Bruno Corbucci.
And Marinello, the other guy.
Filmed in Miami?
Miami mostly, yeah. They're on the Glades a little bit.
I want to start off by saying about this film, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong.
Sure.
If you feel like I'm being stupid. Did anybody else get the sense of, like, because I think that there's a point in film where films went from shitty to good. And I think everything after this point, even shitty films, are good films compared to previous films, because there was an art of storytelling that broke in filmmaking, where things weren't, they went from theater plays being caught in front of a camera to movies.
Sure.
And it's that year is basically 1969 with the premiere of Patton. In my period.
Oh, that's your training point for film?
Because the year before that was Oliver and fuck Oliver. So.
Oh, come on.
Oliver's a fine musical, but come on. Fuck off with your musical shit. So I still qualify this as like that breaking point of like what we consider the modern film.
Sure.
Per se.
There are a lot of jokes in this movie that I recognize from other films that I really liked.
Okay, let me get to that. By drawing a comparison to the modern film, to the classic version of film, did anybody else feel like this was a modern spin on a Marx Brothers movie?
No.
Yeah, kind of.
I mean,
I don't know. The problem with I just think it's basically Comedy 101. And the Marx Brothers are part of Comedy 101, right. So you get that. But the Marx, like, modern take on the Marx Brothers, I think you need more moving parts than they had with this one.
I'm sorry. Moving parts?
Yes, the Marx Brothers are four moving parts, and their movies require, all of the comedy requires all four of those moving parts.
Okay, so maybe more of an Abbott and Costello, which I consider
sure.
a shittier version of the Marx Brothers.
This is a very,
Abbott and Costello were before, but
very late in the game, completely slapstick film.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't any twists. It's just a slapstick comedy.
But the zingers to me, because there's so much dialogue zingers, that's not just the cartoonish shenanigans that happen during the action sequences. It's, hey, I'm the savvy, fun, smart guy that's pulling the prank on the big lummox that's got strong but a heart of gold.
there's a lot of, I think, in the filmmaking itself, you have a guy with Sergio Corpucci, and this is later in his career. He knows exactly what he's capable of, and you can kind of tell that that shows up because a lot of the writing makes it through. And some of these jokes that you would seem like, this is his second language. He's writing this. They're writing this in their second language,
which is very difficult to do.
Very difficult to do.
I couldn't even tell.
They were, you know, these are pretty good jokes and they're making it through all of it. Like they're executing the plan pretty well.
I want to set up another question.
Sure.
This is an easy one. Is it funny?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Is it genuinely funny? Not because it's stupid.
It's genuinely funny.
Are we laughing at it or are we laughing with it?
I'm laughing with it.
You laugh at it and with it, but either way, comedy takes the laughs.
I don't think I laughed at it one time.
Really?
I think
that's maybe you're right.
That they were jokes that, yes, are old or old versions of Marx Brother and Abbott Costello jokes, just classic humor. Shenanigans and cartoony things that happen. But a lot of them I hadn't seen before, hadn't experienced before. And I applaud this film for doing that because it is an Italian film. And not to bash on Italian filmmaking, but for the most part, it's a different culture when it comes to making films than what we're used to in our comedies. And I was shocked. I was shocked by it.
You would really be hard pressed to like the average film viewer, tell them that you're going to show them a comedy film that doesn't use sync sound at all.
Right.
It was written in English and they don't even bother with the sync sound.
Right.
Like most people can't even watch a movie that abandons sync sound. This thing, I think most people wouldn't care if they make it through the first 5 minutes, they're in.
Absolutely. I completely agree. I compare it to in that same vein, which I'm getting into rare territory here. Jackie hasn't even seen this movie, but Ninja in the Dragon's Den. You remember when you and I watched that, and we were like, that's the funniest fucking Japanese film I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, that was actually...
No, that was one of the Japanese
films. That was a Toho?
Yeah.
Okay.
Tohei. Just very rare breed, because it's not saying that other countries can't be funny, but for funny to translate...
Yeah.
Planned funny, not off-the-cuff funny. That's very hard to do.
Well, I think that there is some people that are just universally funny, and one of those is Takashi Miike from Japan, who did like Zebra Man, which I mean, I think you guys have probably heard of Zebra Man but not seen it. Zebra Man and Gozu are absolutely just fucking funny, and there's a universal funny there that it's rare, but there's people out there that have it, and I think that the Corbucci brothers, they know funny, and I think that even Terrence Hill knows funny, because here's a guy whose delivery makes it through the fact that it isn't going to be sync sound and that he's going to put his voice on it later, and it still works.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, quite honestly, I didn't really notice. It didn't bother me when I was watching it. I didn't really notice it. You know, maybe it's just the way that they put it in the movie. Or that the shots or whatnot, and I would have to watch it again to know for sure, but it never even occurred to me that it was, I mean, I just thought maybe the sound was off a little bit here and there, but for the most part, it didn't even occur to me that this was dubbed over.
Yeah.
I also just really like Terrence Hill's shtick. I think he does a really good job with his shtick, this smiley, silly guy thing that he does.
He's the Daffy Duck of this movie.
It's great.
Absolutely. Jackie, this is your first tour with Terrence Hill and Bud Spencer, I believe.
This is my first one.
What do you think of the duo, the dynamic duo of these two?
I think they play off each other really, really well because the big guy, Charlie, is definitely...
I don't just talk about the characters. I mean, I'm specifically talking about Bud Spencer and Terrence Hill.
I think they have a really good chemistry and that they play off of each other really well. Which is probably why I didn't realize that it was subbed and or dubbed, and I, you know, didn't really care because the way that they interact on screen together, just kind of pulls you in, and then I thought that it was fun, and I thought that they did a really good job.
Yeah, it's nothing.
I'd watch another movie with them.
Well, good, because there's 19 more.
Oh, shit, really?
Yes. They did 20 movies together.
I don't think that they've reinvented the wheel by any means, but they've freshened up some old jokes and put their own spin on them and, again, made just a completely outlandish movie.
Sure.
That this is comedy gold.
It is.
And when Jackie says last week, just 1 week ago, that Tango and Cash probably shouldn't have been on this podcast because it's a good movie. This is the one that I would put it on.
Really?
Because other than the poor production values.
Very limited budget. Limited budget.
And sometimes that's not something you can avoid as a filmmaker. They still made the film that they wanted to make. Sure. And I don't see a flaw in what they did.
Okay.
I think this is too good to be on Stinker Madness. I can't wait to talk about it.
My last comment on the actual making of the film is that it does, during this period, there was this effort to put Looney Tunes in live action, that sort of comedy.
Chomps,
yeah.
Perfect example.
There's a level where you can get away with it, and they do a couple of things that you can get away with that are post-production elements that sort of like flirt with making it a cartoony idea. Mm-hmm. I think this film does a great job of never crossing the line.
Absolutely.
It doesn't ever try to be a cartoon on film, but it gets, it flirts with the edge of that here and there for a few jokes and does very well doing that.
I completely agree. I just can't, the whole time we were watching this, I just was waiting for that dive off the cliff into Chomps territory.
Yeah.
And it never did.
Oh no, they know better.
Yeah.
I would also like to comment that the music, at first I was like, what the hell? But then by the, you know, after about 5 minutes of that music, you're like, you know what? Yeah, this music is exactly what this film needs.
It is.
And it's catchy.
Oh, yeah.
I will see if I can find a clip of the soundtrack for this and see if I can put it on the end of this episode. Yeah, no promises.
That would be good. Yeah. It helps, like, my main argument. I think most films should have a theme. I think a lot of movies that just sort of like throw together a soundtrack to sell a soundtrack, I find it amazingly distracting. This film has basically one piece of music that it just uses to bridge some gaps, and it's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree. Bets! The intro.
Betting.
Oh my God, this was like...
Betting.
You're looking at it and you're going, God, you can bet on this shit?
Yeah. I bet you this film is about gambling.
The first time I watched this, I was by myself and I just like turned it on and I was like, oh shit, we're coming in hot here because it's got the theme coming in full blast. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of betting.
There's
a lot more betting and horse things, racing, anything you can bet on. And like
high school
roulette,
band
there,
competition.
No, what? There was a high school band competition?
Well, that was the football at the Navy. Navy Army game. They had the marching band at the football game.
Yeah, and that's an intro into Terrence Hill's character's name is
Johnny.
He's the quarterback for Navy, I believe.
I think so. I meant to go back and watch this again because I've seen it, or just this part again, because I feel like the announcer says that Army's in the red, and Johnny's in red, and he scores a touchdown.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I don't know if he's playing for the wrong team or what's going on.
All right, so we should also mention that there's some baddies there. The ongoing mafia, who apparently are the only mafia people in the entire universe. Like, these guys are everywhere.
They're Miami's mafia.
When betting is involved, they're there.
One of the things I noticed about this movie is that Miami in 1978 was not a very big town.
No, very small.
It was not like it is now.
About 3,000 people, I would say, live in Miami in 1978.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's like L.A. Like, there's that. In 1950, L.A. was a small town. 1965, it was a big town. 1978, Miami is before that transition.
Bud Spencer plays a guy named Charlie, who's got a very vague business that he's got going on. He used to be the world's top gambler. He's the best in the world.
Now he's a truck driver.
He gave it all up because of unknown reasons. Maybe gambling's anonymous? I don't know.
I think that he gave it up for the sister.
Oh, the nun.
Yeah.
Because he's friends with a nun. I guess nuns don't like gambling. Is that
no? She was gambling. She put $10 on army.
Yeah. So that doesn't make any sense, Jackie.
All he right. just got tired because he said the house always wins no matter what. Later
except,
on in the
except
movie,
for
he says
he's
that.
The world's best gambler.
And even then, the house always wins. I guess.
Okay. So he's now a truck driver.
Yes.
That tows. He's currently towing a speedboat, one of those ocean-going jet boats.
Boat racers that kill all of the people that drive them.
They only flip over backwards, crushing everybody's brains.
Yes.
Who? I think you get one, like, it's just a rotating dice roll, like, oh, damn it, I don't get to win this week. That means I die. You just pull back on the stick and get crushed, and then the dice roller wins, and then next week he gets crushed because he didn't win the dice roll, or maybe they draw straws. I don't know. Everybody dies in that fucking sport. Is that even a thing anymore?
It's like they got like there's a guy in the press box.
I bet it's a thing in Australia. Yeah. Everybody wants to die in Australia.
There's a guy in the press box that has the button.
Oh,
and you don't know what's going to happen when he can sense that the crowd is a little bored.
Too many people are going to get beers.
Yeah, he's like on the big screen. All of a sudden, there's a just a real quick clip of Porkins frying in the X-Wing, mm-hmm. and then he hits the button and one of the boats flips.
Yeah, and it's always the saddest story. It's his birthday today, and he's just given birth to a beautiful baby boy who'll probably become... Oh my God, he's dead! Oh, tragedy!
Yeah.
He's on fire! Oh no, I think he's... Oh, he exploded!
He just got hit by two other boats.
and they exploded!
They were both orphans.
See, that...
Yep.
I remember from Sam's Boring Bullshit that was the basis for Death Race 2000, was those boats. It's a death race.
Death race.
It's instead of running over old people, you run over your competitors.
Competitors, yeah, exactly.
Anyways, guess who's running a boat for the Navy?
Why, Johnny.
Johnny, because he just got done scoring touchdowns.
Yeah, he wins boat races in between scoring touchdowns.
He's like, the Navy is like Lambeau Field, but instead of doing the Lambeau leap, when you score a touchdown, you just run out the gates and straight into a boat that's probably going to kill you.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, he's sporty. That's what they're trying to say here.
He's a very talented man when it comes to sports. When it comes to games, Anyways, there's some sabotage. So even though he's winning, the mob has sabotaged him.
Yep.
Because they're rigging, throughout this entire film, they're rigging every sporting
Everything's
event.
On the fix.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
These four fucking dickheads have fixed up all of it.
The Army-Navy game was on the fix.
Like, it wasn't on the fix.
Are you pretty sure it was?
No, it couldn't have been on the fix.
The Navy's supposed to win. Army and Navy
couldn't have played in Florida.
Why not?
They usually play in either Maryland or wherever the Citadel is.
Somebody once said, you know what? They're never going to play football in Mexico City. Well, they did last year, so.
I think they've been playing football in Mexico City the whole time.
No, that's football.
Either way.
What is that, the Trotz Bowl?
Boo.
They're used to their own water, Jackie.
Oh.
Boo. I should boo myself.
Yeah.
Boo.
You get a self-boo. Free boo. Anyways, so Johnny's pissed. He tracks down the saboteur, who just happens to be in Charlie's garage hangout location.
Well, I think this is just
his garage.
Charlie's just there at the docks waiting to load the boat back up when it's done, because he's got to take it back to wherever he took it from.
Okay, that makes sense.
So he's having himself some beans and onions.
Beans and onions.
Lima beans and onions.
They're not, like, I really like some beans. I don't even know are those pinto beans that I like in chili?
Chili?
Yeah, it was a pinto.
Pinto or navy.
Yeah, navy beans. And, yeah. I don't like what he's eating.
Lima beans and onions.
That seems grody.
Yeah.
It didn't look very good.
Doesn't look good. And Johnny's like, I love beans and onions. Really?
Hey, let me help myself to some of your dinner. I was in here looking for a guy who sabotaged my boat, but those lima beans look so good I've forgotten completely about it.
He's got steam coming out of his ear. He doesn't actually.
Well, and what surprised me is it's at this point in the movie where I start questioning Johnny's thinking ability.
Very good at at sports.
Yeah. And then later you find out that he is involved, in fact, involved with the Navy. And you're like, oh. And he's an officer of some kind because he's obviously going to the Naval Academy. And I'm like, oh, holy shit, that doesn't say a lot for Navy in 1978.
Boy, she was all in the Navy.
You got something to say, Sam?
I'm going to save it for the end, okay. Navy.
So anyways, inside the garage, he finds the saboteur, but the saboteur gets away, and Johnny goes and chases him. But the rest of the mob shows up, and they're like, hey, that's our guy. Quit fucking with him. And we get introduced to Bud Spencer's fighting style,
which is a lot of bear paws.
Basically just Andre the Giant's fighting
yes,
style.
Yes, it is. It's very good.
Well, in his defense, dude, they were trying to steal his beans and onions.
That's all he's pissed about. It's not, hey, you're fucking with the boat races. They're just like, oh, beans and onions. Can I get some of that? Fuck, no, you can't.
Yeah, they try to steal his food. And everybody knows, and I'm not saying to be mean here, but you don't try to steal a fat guy's food. No, you do not. If you want to lose a limb, absolutely give it a go. But no, you don't do that shit.
So he gets his man, tackles him, and which I guess gets him called into the general's office.
So I'm assuming that the gap bridged here, having seen this a couple times now, that they pinched that guy. So that's how they know that the mob is on the fix with all the sports.
Okay. All right.
At which point they're then called into the admiral's office.
Oh, it's the admiral, not the general.
The admiral right, of right. the entire Navy. His office.
Right. Yeah, because he gives a shit about any of this.
And he brings in Lieutenant Johnny, who still doesn't have a last name to this point.
Right.
And then lists off all of his achievements, which I believe are he's beaten everybody at everything except for the last medal-winning Italian boxer. He lost a fight to him, and that's it.
That's a bummer.
And that's what he focuses on. Dude, you're a winner, but you are a fucking loser because you lost this one thing. Dude, how disappointing is that? You feel like such a shit.
But either way, he's like, Johnny, it has become apparent the organized crime has become a threat to Navy's sports in Florida.
Which is just fucking ridiculous. And you're like, oh, okay.
Because you're waiting for this whole thing. Like, organized crime, yeah, I'm with you.
Okay.
It's a threat. Yeah. Okay, well, let's see. What is it? Navy sports? Just in Florida?
Well, you know, they haven't branched out yet.
Let's put our best men on this.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I'd call Johnny the best man.
Well, either way, the admiral is saying, we've got somebody we would like you to work with.
Yeah.
His name is Charlie, and he looks like this shaved man.
Yeah.
Who he looks like a really fancy Italian mafia guy.
Yeah, kind of.
And then they draw on the beard.
The beard draw is ridiculous.
Yeah, because he starts with a Sharpie, and then they cut away, and then he's got, like, just a picture of himself with a beard. It's like, oh, my God, that's awesome.
Great artistry.
I think I know this guy. He likes beans and onions.
But you find out that Charlie's name is Furpo at that point.
No, you don't.
Yeah, Charlie, yeah he does. He goes, Charlie Furpo.
The world's best gambler. Elsewhere, Charlie Furpo has dropped off the nun in the middle of nowhere. Like, I guess this is
a bus stop.
Park bench nun. Bye.
See ya.
I only mention it because it comes into play later.
And why does she have an orphan with her?
Because she's a nun.
Yeah, but you don't just take the children out of the hospital to go gambling
maybe
with
it
you.
It was a doctor appointment.
No, if you're going to like collect monies, you want an orphan with you.
Good to know.
Yeah. Wait, it like, tugs on the heartstrings.
Because it's a con?
Yeah.
Like, hey.
Dude, I'm going to borrow somebody's kid.
We're going to lose our cathedral on 4th and Main.
Yep.
Get the adopted kids. They'll get those white like, rich guys' hearts.
No, this is little Petey. Life's been pretty rough on little Petey's brain.
Oh, tuppence, sir, please.
Please, sir, can I have a crust of bread?
No!
Yeah, because you got to balance it out.
Ma porridge.
Because if she goes out, she's a pretty good looking nun.
Two Oliver references in one episode. There you go. Man, I should get an award for that.
No, she can't go out by herself and get anything done because she's too attractive for a nun. Because anytime she'd go in there, it'd be like three-way.
Any chance at a three-way?
Because anytime you have sex with the nun, it's a three-way because God.
God's there.
Oh, God. Boo. Ear, ear, ear. Boo. No, boo.
High five, God. You get the butt. Oh. Guess you're God. I don't know.
Boo.
Oh.
Boo. I totally disagree with these statements.
Well, either way, she's got an orphan. They leave at that point.
All right. So Charlie, he's trucking. We should mention that he's trucking in this
film. He's a truck driver. Yeah.
Which is why Justin liked it so much.
He pushes some buttons, and I guess he's got an intercom to the back.
He does.
Mm-hmm.
And we hear some squeaking.
Yeah. See, I was able to recognize the squeaking immediately, but if you guys didn't recognize that, can save it.
No, I did not.
All right.
I was squeaking like, tells him to get some food.
Yeah.
So he pulls over at a truck stop, or I guess it's not a truck stop. It's a place that it's a familiar. He's familiar with this place.
It's like a diner or something.
He orders 35 pounds of raw fish.
Yep.
Okay. And meanwhile, in the back, Johnny's there waiting for him, I guess, because he knows this is his hangout. Playing some pinball in the back. And he's being fucking crazy. This is the intro to Terrence Hill's physical comedy here.
Yes. Jumping up on the
pinball machine, which I thought was pretty impressive that thing did not fall over and kill him.
No, those things weigh a ton.
I know, but still, I was waiting for it.
Yeah.
And it didn't. And I was like, wow, you just kind of leapt up there.
He doesn't look like he weighs very much.
Yeah. I was still impressed with the agility.
Yeah, if I was to put a number on him in this movie, I would say like $1.43.
Well, Charlie does not weigh $1.43. And in fact, he demonstrates this here by getting a triple burger.
And the triple beers.
Yes.
And a piece of, and a cake.
Yes. Cake.
With a lot of whipped cream on it.
And a lot of napkins. Because apparently he's a very sloppy eater. He's so sloppy, he can get food on his back.
And his shoulders, yeah. It's...
Yeah, that was weird. I was like,
He needs like a barber smock when he eats, I guess.
Yeah. Or like one of those hazmat suits with the face part cut out.
They just have like a vacuum hose that just...
They should drop him out of an airplane with no parachute, point him at a hamburger. He's... gets it.
Yeah, okay, that was kind of random.
Oh, it's cartoony. Fits in perfectly.
Okay.
Johnny gets some free OJ, essentially. Cost him a nickel for about 10 glasses of OJ. Do you think this con would work? Let's set this up for somebody who hasn't seen this movie, because I recently learned that people just listen to us. They don't actually watch these movies. Yeah. But Johnny's like, hey, I bet you a nickel that I can drink a shitload of orange juice.
Mm.
I can drink more orange juice than you can squeeze.
Yep.
Now, we know from life that orange juice at a restaurant is quite expensive. It's like $4 per glass today for just like a shitty little thing of orange juice.
Like 4 ounces of orange juice.
It's very expensive. Do you think this con would work if you went into a place and was like, man?
No, I don't.
No.
What if you said, I bet you $6, which is more than the cost, and then just drank a shitload of orange juice, more than $6 worth. You think that would work?
No, I don't think so.
Because people aren't fucking retarded. And not to mention that, you know, the mom and pa days of shops or of restaurants are not really there anymore. So nobody's going to do that at a chain restaurant because they're going to be like, no, I'll get fired.
I think that's a personal challenge. I think I might make this my goal in life.
All right.
To just get free orange juice.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Orange juice is delicious.
It is good.
Great embarrassment for the rest of my life. I'll bet you a nickel. Oh, fuck.
You just got to do half of the value. So if the glass of orange juice is $4, you go $2.
But then they're going to be like, no, I'll sell you a glass of orange juice for $4. I know you can drink that.
Well, then maybe you do the $6
thing. I win if I don't take this bet. You got to go for the higher money. Like, all right. Ooh, that's $6. I could get $4 or I could get $6 because there's no way this guy can drink that much. And then he just gets a bunch of fucking... You lose the bet. That's the point. But you get a bunch of orange juice.
Yeah.
Because it's expensive. I like this. Anyways. Hey, guess what? The mob shows up because they're
distributing slot machines.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, we got some gambling. We're the mob. That's all we do. We don't do drugs, so we don't do whackins or the protection racket. We only do gambling.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because, you know, when you got a trunk full of slot machines, you got to hit up any mojo shop around. You know, you got to make your profits.
I just don't know why Joe, I think it's Joe, is the guy that owns this restaurant.
Okay.
Why doesn't he want the slot machine?
Because it's going to take away from his pinball business.
The pinball isn't even his.
That's what he says, though. It'll take away from the pinball business.
All right. Whatever.
Wait. So he doesn't get a cut of the gambling profits?
No, fuck that. This is mafia we're talking about.
Dude, that's not good business.
But then, so whose cigarette machine is it? Because they put it on top of a cigarette machine. There's no talk of the cigarette machine.
You know what Joe should get? 4 more stories and a wheelbarrow filled with concrete.
Because
if I know anything about how to deal with the mob, thanks to Deuces Wild, you just put a bunch of concrete on some heads and you're done. Guess what happens? He got dealt with. I don't know. Forget about it.
Florida. Oh my God, that was terrible.
It's Florida in the 70s. The buildings aren't tall enough for that.
Yeah.
You just wheel out a bunch of cinder blocks. What are you going to do with those? Drop them on you once I'm high enough in the air, which looks like it's not going to happen for a while.
It's going to. Can you help me also with these?
Yes, I think if we all.
4 foot tall.
4 ladders, maybe. And.
Now, I keep doing a Brooklyn accent for the mob. What do we think the mob sounds like in Florida?
They sound like a bunch of overdubs in this. Hey, I don't know.
What do you think that they really sound like?
They sound like some guys from Brooklyn that are in Florida.
Ah.
Because that's where they came from. As evidenced by that book we both read.
It's really fucking humid down here.
Yeah.
Joey.
Hey, my arm just got bit off by an alligator. Did you fucking shoot it? No, I didn't shoot it.
Ate me guest gun.
It ate me gun. Me gun? Wait, me now we're gun. Irish? Yar.
It's a pirate thing. You know, they're next to the ocean now.
There's a clock in its tummy, too.
Well, it's better than sounding like guys from Florida.
Which is what?
Oh, go.
Oh my God.
Okay. Well, they fuck some shit up in Joe's place, the mob, because they're pissed about the gambling business. And Johnny and Charlie are like, you know what? No. We're going to fuck you up.
They weren't even worried about it until one of them tried to eat his pie.
Yeah, that's a major insult.
Don't fucking touch my food. Like, you little fuckers, I already beat your asses in the in the boat hangar.
Oh, the one thing you don't do is you don't touch my cake.
Yeah, and then the guy fell into his cake, and he was like, I guess I'll get up and kick your ass now. But before that, he didn't give 2 shits.
No, he was just going to let Joe get taken advantage of.
Now, I would say that this fight scene is wild. But this fight scene is relatively tame compared to others.
But I think as you're watching, you're like, well, this is a wild fight scene.
But.
Yeah.
Okay, so they fuck him up pretty good. Kick him out, throw him out. The mob's pissed.
We're introduced to Johnny's fighting style, which involves a lot of weapons of opportunity. He's very much like Jackie Chan, except for that he's nothing like Jackie Chan.
A bit, though.
He likes to hit people in the hands with sticks. Mm-hmm. That's kind of his signature move.
Yeah.
Very fast, very reactionary.
Yes.
I like it. So, they're... At least they have some level of respect for each other, I believe. Like, hey, you know... Before, you were kind of a dipshit that I didn't know, but now at least you can do that.
Yeah.
So Johnny's like, well, hey, he doesn't tell him, like, I was sent down here to hook up with you so we could take down the mob. He's like, can you give me a lift to Miami? And Charlie's like, no.
I don't give lifts to strangers.
Screw you, bud. Oh yeah. Well, I bet you you're gonna give me a trip
don't
to Miami.
Make bets.
Why not? You're the best gambler in the world.
I'll eat all of these fish.
Oh,
all 35 pounds of this fish if you can get me to give you a ride.
I'm still doing that Brooklyn accent. I need to switch to, hey, I know you like to give me a ride. It's a me.
Okay.
Johnny. Now let's go down some pipes together. And then they have a whole underground adventure with Goombas and Koopas.
Yeah. They're Americans.
Oh, they... No. Okay. Enough racism. Casual racism for one episode. Probably not. So they make a bet about, as Jackie says, Bud Spencer's like, all right, fine. I'm going to eat 35 pounds of fish if I give you a ride, but that's not going to happen.
Yep, and then he leaves.
Yeah, he's like, go fuck yourself.
Daffy Duck shows up and dresses as a nun.
We forgot the part where he's in, like, all of a sudden running him down in a fan boat.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, yeah.
That was awesome. It was like, where did you get a fucking fan boat from?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, because he looks at... Charlie looks out the window like, what the shit? And there's
Johnny in a fan boat.
And he's giving them the wink and the gun.
Yeah, he's like, hey, how you go? How you doing?
Bye-bye. It's so fucking Daffy Duck, it's ridiculous. Yeah. Who, by the way, is the greatest character that's ever existed.
Oh, God, shove it. That's not true.
The duck who was Daffy, what do you got? You better say fucking Bugs Bunny, because if you don't say Bugs Bunny, you're sleeping on the couch.
No, it's Longhorn.
Foghorn Leghorn?
Yeah, Foghorn Leghorn. I love that guy.
He sucks. Boo. He was in like 4 bits.
I like him.
Yeah, whatever.
He was my favorite one.
Fucking Elmer Fudd's better than him.
And I like the little chicken lady.
Oh, the chicken hawk?
No, the little chicken lady who's always in love with... Foghorn.
Wow, she's got huge breasts.
Yeah.
Because she's a chicken. Huge, delicious breasts.
Anyway.
Well, they've, looks like Johnny's gotten ahead of him in the fan boat.
Yeah, so he dresses up as a nun. Something actually Bugs Bunny would do.
Yeah.
Bugs Bunny would look much hotter.
Bugs Bunny would make you question your sexuality.
Shout out, Garth. And sneaks a ride. He's like, the nun, she's here at the bus stop early. I'll pick her up.
Well, I think he thinks that is his girlfriend nun.
Oh, yeah. He thinks it's the same nun he dropped off.
One that he likes. Because, like, you know, he's checking his appearance in the mirror and checking his breath and stuff. You know, he's like, okay, I'm ready. Pulls over. Hello, sister. He's got this big shit-eating grin on his face.
Yeah, he's pretty excited.
Yeah, I think he's in love with the nun.
He is.
Okay. Well, Johnny doesn't delay much. He reveals his own identity. But the good news is he doesn't make Charlie eat the fish. Charlie was about to, though.
He was going
to
eat the fish.
Yeah.
But he could have ate 35 pounds worth of fish?
No, he couldn't have done any of it.
No.
He would have been barfing after the second fish.
Do you think he could eat one fish?
No.
Not the way he was trying to, no.
What kind of fish are these?
They just look like perch or
large
something.
Large minnows.
Yeah.
Sardines.
Oh.
No, because sardines are pretty small, right?
They can get big.
They can get that big.
I don't know. It just looked like a trout of some kind.
Yeah, whatever they feed the dolphins.
Sardines.
Yeah, probably sardines. Do you think you could eat one of those, Sam? Whole?
No.
I mean,
after
that's
they're
gross.
Cured and canned, it's easy, but...
Just a raw sardine.
Fresh sardine without being gutted or headed. I don't know that I would have a nice time with that.
He'd be eating his poop.
Name a dollar figure.
Well, I mean, for that sort of a thing, the dollar figure is not going to be that high.
10,000?
Oh, easy.
Okay, 1,000.
Yeah, probably.
$50.
Depending on if I've had like 2 beers, I think that I would probably be like 10. A tenner would do it.
What a cheap goddamn, dude.
Know what we're doing next weekend?
I will pay you $10. I will let you have 4 beers. I will pay you $10 to eat a 10-inch fish.
Yeah, all right.
Not one bite. You can take as many bites as you want.
You got to swallow the whole thing whole, or otherwise you're going to get
bone fragments.
Oh, you're
not going to swallow that thing whole. You're going to die, dude. It's not worth $10. You can take bites, but you have to eat the whole fucking thing.
No, that's gross.
Head to butt.
No, but if you swallowed the whole thing, would it just come out of your butt like
a fish? Oh, no, I think you'd digest it.
Oh, yeah, you'd digest. Maybe not the skeleton, but...
You just poop out a fish skeleton?
Yeah, just like the cartoons.
Oh, my God, Sam.
I think that's not a good bet. I think my dollar figure is very much higher. But and I love sardines. So, anyways. It turns out that, sure as shit, he's got dolphins in the back of his truck. I don't know where he's taking them. I assume that the dolphin, one of them is Snowflake, and they're taking him to the Miami Dolphins,
yeah.
We're then going to get kidnapped later, and a certain pet detective has to find them again. But... They pull over at night to get some Z's. Charlie's very tired, so they just happen to pull over next to a gambling spot where the mob likes to play.
Mm-hmm.
One of those seafood casinos.
Yep. They got dancing, sandwiches.
They got poker in the back and liquor in the rear.
Oh
gross. I hope it was clean.
No, this is
Miami. It's hot down there.
It's dirty clean. Poker. Diddy and poker. Play it without a rubber.
Huh.
Actually, you take the rubber and slap it to your head and say, look at me, I'm a fucking unicorn.
What?
Oh, my God. You need
idiot.
To stop drinking.
It's idiot poker.
So that's Louisiana, sir. Thank you very much.
I always mix those two up.
Yeah.
All right, so... Johnny finds this swinging joint that's got, sure enough, shit, poker in the rear. And he goes back and starts playing a poker game. And this is really why I love this movie, is because of this scene. Because he plays the most inept game of poker that's ever been played ever. Now, I've seen other movies that try to do this where the guy's a total buffoon, Maverick.
Yes.
Pulling a con where, oh, I'm a shitty poker player. I've seen I'm a shitty pool player a lot.
Yeah.
Sharking. He's not a shark. He is actually a fucking moron when it comes to poker. And the gags are hilarious. At this point, I am shocked with this film because, again, I'm not laughing at it. I am laughing with it. This is some of the funniest shit I've ever seen in my life.
The poker scene is great, and it culminates with one of the classic joke that you've seen and never laughed at, and then you laugh at it this time because they actually pull off the card backward thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's holding he's got 10 kings, and he's showing them to the audience, to the rest of the players, and he's looking over at them like, yeah, I got you, and they're all looking at him like, are you some sort of moron? And he flips the cards backwards towards his face like, oh, shit,
yeah.
Whoops. And he's like, which is better, or which is higher, an ace or a king?
He has four kings and an ace.
And
draw, yeah.
An ace is higher. So he asks for four more cards. That's fucking brilliant.
After everybody has already folded.
That is brilliant.
Yeah.
That is so fucking funny. It's stupid. I feel unqualified to define how funny that is.
That joke is really good.
You gotta see it. Some of the best comedic shtick I've ever seen.
Yeah, Terrence Hill's really got good timing.
It's brilliant. So he wins that hand because everybody folded, but then he proceeds to lose $11,000. And, like, I was shocked. Like, wait, he's supposed to dupe them into betting big, and then he takes all their money. No, wait, he's shitty at poker?
He's
what?
Shitty at poker, and he lost $11,000 in the time it took the lady to go get the sandwiches. So he did it in, like, 15 minutes.
Amazing. He's like, well, I don't have $11,000, but I do know where you can get a sweet semi-truck.
Yeah. He claims it's his.
Yeah.
It's mine. I'll write the title to you right now. And I'm still thinking he's pulling a fucking Daffy Duck here. He's just a moron.
But then you got to wonder, because then he's like, oh, yeah, by the way, I picked up this homeless guy who's sleeping in there.
Yeah, there's a giant bum in the cab sleeping.
You're going to have to kick him out if you want the truck.
By the way.
By the way.
I'm not going to tell you about his fighting skills.
Which are quite good.
Quite good. you're probably going to die. Sure shit. Charlie beats the fuck out of these guys. Like, there was a couple backbreakers. The atomic pile driver.
One gets a sign broken over their head.
One went off the top ropes, or he went off the top ropes. A huge man going that high. A chair came out from under the mat, and then, like, a fucking ladder. What the fuck is a ladder doing in this match? And, like, he's cracking him in the back with it. Again, Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hulk Hogan comes out and he's like, I smell dookie, and then gets fucking tossed out into the crowd. Bud Spencer should have been a professional wrestler.
Yeah.
Actually, he should have been a
He should have
comedian.
Been a fine comedian. He
yeah.
was.
Yeah, he was. But, man. While he's beating the shit out of guys, Johnny steals his fucking truck.
That's the only way he's going to do it.
I thought these guys were pals.
Yeah.
You're stealing his semi?
Super
and
dick
Dolphins?
Move.
That's a super dick move. You're not a nice guy, Johnny.
No.
Maybe captain of the sports universe, but man, what a dick.
And lieutenant of the anti-mob fixing.
This is not how team-ups go.
No, this is not how team-ups go.
You just go, like, you fight a couple bad guys, and you're like, hey, we got to take down the main bad guy.
Yeah.
And then you high-five, and then you team up, and you punch the main bad guy.
Yeah.
You don't steal your buddy's truck.
No. You don't Jesus. Do that.
So the next day, Charlie's...
He's drowning his sorrows in Budweiser's.
Now, this place, I fucking love this location because it seems like it's just an outdoor bar.
It is. It's just a beach bar.
Like, you go get some dick dogs and then you can drink 16 Budweiser's while just sitting around listening to some cool tunes by yourself, and nobody's going to hassle you.
That's about what you got there.
You just make a pyramid by yourself.
And he's done that.
I would like to go to
that. Yeah. Well, Bud Spencer looks like he's knocked over about 12 Budweisers already.
Yeah, of course. How much do you think it takes?
Bud Spencer?
Yeah.
36?
36 beers.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. He gets involved with some Johnny phone hijinks. We're not going to get too much into this, I don't think, but they do not know how phones work.
This is one of the stupid... I love this scene. The second time it was funnier. So the phone rings at the main building. He then transfers it to the payphone, and then Bud Spencer's at the payphone, and the payphone next to him is where the call originally came from, and it's Johnny.
Right.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, it is very silly, but hard to describe.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, he tells him to meet him at the racetrack, and which is a demolition derby type style racetrack, but it's not like it's just a shitty
it's
car
just a
racetrack.
Towny speedway.
Yeah, speedway. And
the cars are quite impressive.
Charlie enters the race
by walking up.
Like, I'm the best.
Does he even ask to race, or does he go like, hey, do you want to race? We're getting lost a driver.
I'm really good at shit.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, you're on.
Yeah.
Here's your ride. Don't win.
But it's all rigged for this other guy. The mob's involved again. Hey, you're going to win. We told all the other drivers that they're going to let you slip ahead at the end. Who are you? Oh, my God, you're Johnny.
Johnny.
We just lost a bunch of money to you. And a semi-truck.
And a semi-truck.
Like last night. But we don't know yous.
This guy is not the same guy. He's got a helmet on.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The other guy just loves sandwiches.
Yeah.
And poker.
Yeah.
Poker face, poker in the face, poker.
Pretty sure that's how that goes.
Yeah.
So they're racing around, and Charlie sees Johnny, and he's like, hey, fuck you. You stole my truck, you son of a bitch. And they have some tussles.
Some rubbing and racing.
A little trade and paint.
Yeah.
And they run each other both off the track. And the mob guys are fucking pissed because Johnny was supposed to win.
He was supposed, but he did not.
And
then there's more comedic fighting. You've got, this time they incorporate the trash can where he smashes him down. And then he's only about 6 inches of the bottom of the trash can.
That's hilarious.
And he keeps wandering around like that throughout the fight scene.
I loved that part.
That is hilarious. I don't give a shit. A man.
Well, I think that's one of the great parts about this. One of the great things about this movie is that every fight scene adds a comedic element better than the fight scene before.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they escalate quite rapidly. Anyways, Johnny reveals that to Charlie, hey, I'm your brother.
Yeah, well, they are fighting, and they're like, why are you helping that big oaf? Because that big oaf is my brother. And you're like, is that a joke? And then you realize, no, they're being fucking serious. Ladies and gentlemen, Johnny Furpo. Furpo number two has been revealed.
That's right. And I was pretty shocked. They don't look anything like they'd know.
No. I thought it was a total joke. I thought maybe it was a con or something, but no, he's his fucking brother.
Yep.
What? They're brothers? Huh.
Mm. I questioned it. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I questioned it a lot. Now Charlie's selling some ice cream.
Yeah, he's got to get a job.
He doesn't have a semi-trucking business anymore.
He doesn't.
He's got a ice cream.
He's been blackballed from the racetrack.
Selling some delicious cones at the pier.
Not pistachio. The pistachio's melted.
Yep. That was a funny joke.
Yeah, that was a funny joke. They have a heart-to-heart about their dad, who raised them separately with two separate mothers. Because...
They're about 10 years apart.
Their father loved Charlie so much that he gambled into blindness.
I don't know.
I'm not really. How is he blind?
He doesn't. Well, I mean, he's not.
Right.
He's not, for one.
He's not. But they don't know where this part of all the angles that Johnny's working for this plan, they just come out of nowhere and they don't make sense.
He claims that.
Yeah.
Dad got blind from gambling.
From loving Charlie too much.
And the reason he gambled so much is because he loves Charlie so much.
Yeah.
I think he probably yanked it one too many times, and that's how you go blind.
You will go blind. Harry Palms and blindness. Trust me, I know from experience. Can't see shit. Very Harry Palms. I was supposed to be funny.
Hoy.
Hoy van Glaven. Hoy.
You should write these Italian buddy pictures. You're so funny.
All right. No. Johnny bets all the money. So Johnny took the money, the semi-truck and the money that he won and stole and whatever, and bet it all so that he could help his dad get this $100,000 surgery for his eyeballs. But he lost. He lost everything.
Yeah.
But that was his noble cause. Hey, bro, I lost your semi-truck in business because I was just trying to help our dad. And yeah. I failed. I'm sorry. But we still got to help dad.
Which at that point, he should have just punched him right in the fucking throat.
Charlie never makes out on these deals, really.
No, he gets screwed. He's like the responsible sibling that just keeps getting used. And you feel kind of bad for him.
Charlie loves his dad. He barely knows him.
Yeah.
But my papa.
Well, he sees him, and then the water works. You know, that's how it goes.
Mm-hmm. My papa. All right, how are we going to get this 100K to get you this operation? Well, I'm going to teach you how to gamble, Johnny. I can't gamble myself because I think it's evil.
So, yeah. No, because... He's being their version of the gambling. So it's like, oh, the mob has got the fix on. Well, here's how you beat the fix. You bring in a ringer. Mm-hmm. Who's the ringer? We're the ringers.
Yep.
What? What? Yes. Okay. I mean, yeah, you're right. It makes sense. Kind of.
What's the plan? Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. So first it's the horse races, right?
Right. They go to the horse chariot races. I don't know what those are called.
I don't know what they're called either.
Buggy races.
Yeah, buggy races. Yeah, good call, Jackie. They hear that the race is rigged. The mob's got it's fixed, as Sam says.
Even though the favorite Thunderbolt is, he's not going
to
win.
He's 2-1 odds. And Charlie's like, no, give me 11-1.
11-1. So this is how you beat the house, is you name your own numbers.
By conking them.
And then you sneak in a ringer.
Right, which is Johnny. Which Johnny's going to become the jockey.
Which I thought would have been way funnier if Charlie would have been the jockey.
Yeah.
Even like, oh, because that's not weird looking.
Yeah.
But he wins.
The Johnny as the jockey, the second time around for me, I thought the funniest joke was when they're getting ready to start racing. One of the other jocks is like, "You're not Sam." And he's like, "How do you know?" "Because I know him and you're not him." "Are you sure? Why don't you call out my name?" "All right. Hey, Sam." "Oh, hi."
I loved that joke.
That was the way that he delivers, like, "Oh, hi. Yes." And then later on, the same jockey's like, "Hey, the fix, you're screwing it up." He's like, "I can't stop him. He's running too fast." The whole horse race is great.
Yeah. He wins. The mob is pissed. And so they're like, "Well, we're gonna fuck up that Sam guy, that jockey. We're going to fuck him up good. Send a couple of the boys around his home and make sure you take out the little one.
The baby. They're going to kill a baby."
Well, they do. They show up at the house. They're like, "Hey, baby, where the fuck you at? We're going to fuck you up, little one." And they open up the crib. It's fucking Bud Spencer. Dressed as a baby.
Dressed as a baby.
He punches them out.
Yes, right out of the boat. This is the point where you also realize that, like, no matter what is said, because earlier on, you're like, they're like, "Oh, go get some sandwiches." And then the sandwiches come back. And then at this point, you're like, "Oh, my God, they're going to kill a whole family because of these guys' actions."
Uh-huh.
But then there's a scene where they resolve it and you realize there is not one sentence in this movie that doesn't pay itself off
right
down the road.
Right.
And this is when you realize that, like, they will not fail to pay off anything in this film.
Absolutely. Pops is busted by the mob for gambling on their turf because I guess he's not allowed to gamble. Whatever.
Yeah, because he's so good at gambling that the mob doesn't want him in their territory.
Also, it's a genetic thing.
That's what they were like.
Johnny
that's
didn't get it.
Why Mike Furpo's on the outs is because he can't use his normal gambling haunts because the mob's got the fix on it.
Mm.
So that's why otherwise, you know, Mike Furpo would still be running his own racket.
Okay, so he runs away from them, and the boys see him. They're like, "Hey, that's Dad. Yeah, what the fuck? Well, let's go get him." So they chase after him as well. And Johnny sees him being a mannequin, so he helps him hide. Like, he doesn't admit that, like, "Hey, Dad's standing there as being a mannequin. Like, I don't want you to know that he's not blind."
Yeah.
He's pretty much blind. He's not blind.
He's not blind at all.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
And he's still great at craps.
So Dad gets away. And the next game that they're going to bet on. Now, let's break down this cash flow that they've got. How much did they win on the horse race? $10,000, I think?
They had $5,000 and they bet 11 to 1.
Oh, so they're up 50K. 55K.
60 almost. Yeah, they're doing fine.
So the next bet that they're going to make on their way to $100,000 plus enough to pay for a new semi and plus probably to save the orphans. Is Hialeah.
Hialeah.
Huh. Okay.
Which I had no idea you could even bet on.
You could bet on anything.
It was crazy.
You guys ever played Hialeah? Either of you?
No. It looks dangerous. It looks fucking dangerous.
I played Hialeah without the mitt.
That's racket called ball? Butt ball.
No. Yeah. It's just called wall ball.
Racket ball. Whatever. Yeah. It's all the same rules. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty fun. So there's a big match. And the main guy is an old friend of Bud's, but he's getting too old.
He's only been invited for novelty.
Yeah. Well, shit, that sucks. We want to bet on you because you got the lowest odds, but I think you're a little fragile.
It's a good thing you wear a wig.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, he had to do it, Sam, so that he could capture his youth.
Yeah.
So he could look more youthful out there on the court.
So he could supply Charlie Furpo with a disguise.
That's right.
Johnny's going to bet 50K on him for this match.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Bud takes his place wearing a wig. And apparently he's really good.
Very good at Hialeah.
This is not a scam like the horse race kind of was. He's really fucking good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is Bud Spencer playing Hyalai too, which I guess you'd have to note that the guy was at one point in his life an Olympic athlete. So he's very good at things.
Really?
Yeah, swimmer.
Huh.
So they win. And now that they've got all this fucking cash, Johnny wants to meet the Greek, who's the kingpin of the mob syndicate.
That's fucking with the Navy.
That's fucking with the Navy. Sure.
Like, by now, you're already in the movie. Like, you've completely forgotten that the entire point of this was because the Navy was getting the hustle put on their sports.
That's right.
The Greek is the world's greatest poker player.
Yeah.
Nobody's better than the Greek.
And he's running all of the fixes in Florida.
So let's set up a poker game with them. You've seen me play poker. You know what I can do when it comes to poker. Let's play poker with the Greek. I'll put it all on the line.
Yeah.
In a poker match with the Greek. You got no choice. It's the greatest deal ever for you, right?
Absolutely.
And the guys are like, well, shit, man, that's a real good deal.
This is two birds, one stone, whatever.
We'd be stupid to say no. Yeah. It's obviously not a con job with this guy.
Yeah.
Hey, let's put him on a boat with that girl that he met earlier in the film. That we haven't even talked about, but
she's the dame.
She's at some dame. Let's put him on a boat. We'll take him out to the yacht, the giant casino yacht that we got, and you meet the boss, and the boss will win, of course, and then we can whack him.
Yeah.
Take his cash, and then we'll throw him up in the air. We'll be like, woohoo!
He doesn't have any money at that point if he loses it all.
He's got
Greek.
A fucking grocery bag full of cash.
He's got 500
I just
G's.
Gave it to him.
500 G's. That's how much money they
500K have. 500K in a fucking milk bag.
All they needed was $100,000 for the eye surgery.
Yeah, these greedy motherfuckers. Let's take them.
The eye surgery. There's no eye surgery.
The guy that's not blind. All right. The Navy is like, we've lost track of Johnny.
No, they didn't lose track of him. They went outside of the Navy's jurisdiction.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you're like, wait a second. The Coast Guard has jurisdiction. You're the Navy.
If the Navy doesn't have jurisdiction of this place, where does the Navy have jurisdiction?
I don't think that the whole thing is that you sail around and, yeah, use your own discretion. And if you provoke a national incident, well, then you're all fired.
Because I would assume that these guys are out of American territory. They're in international waters. Because otherwise, why are they on a fucking yacht? They could just have like some land thing.
Exactly.
They're using the yacht to get into international waters so that they can gamble legally.
Legally, yes.
Which I'm pretty sure that's where the Navy does things.
International waters, yeah. The Coast Guard, not so much.
Submarines and shit. You just fucking launch a torpedo and blow up whatever you want, man.
It was an accident by fire. There was an engine malfunction. How can you tell, sir? I found this one piece of wood that was left. And a slot machine.
Yeah, there's not a lot
we found
of
this guy floating in an inner tube when we shot him in the face.
International water CSI. What happened? I don't know. All I can see is water.
It blew
can
up.
I go home
and
now?
It sank. I don't know.
There's nothing here.
Bye-bye. Anyway, so back on land, Charlie decides to get drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Because, fuck, my brother's lost all the money. Now I don't have a semi-trucking business. Pops is still blind. And meanwhile, there's a bunch of orphans that are probably aren't going to have a home.
Not going to have a home. On top of everything else.
On top of everything.
So he's double-fisting fifths.
Oliver is now going to be turned into dog food.
Sure.
Because that's
or
the
glue.
Only choice. Glue or dog food.
Glue.
That's all you can do with the orphan.
But you can feel one. Better knowing that your desk leg is held on by
this
Oliver.
Is, yeah, this is the 70s. Most of the furniture was made out of orphans.
Sure.
So. True.
Different time
it's stickier
and era.
Than the glue they have now.
Probably wrong, but different time.
Orphan quality.
So who's to judge?
That's the new the new glue quality. Is this orphan quality glue or is this just horse glue? Because there's a difference.
You're asking that at the Ace Hardware. Because the orphan glue really stuck stuff. Sir, it did not. The bonding is obviously better. Speak for yourself, clerk.
That's right. I'm with the orphan glue. They don't make that
anymore. I've re-glued this leg on 15 times with orphan glue. Exactly, sir. Normal glue would have done it the once.
You should try Mexican glue. Oh, God damn it. Okay, so Johnny makes it onto the casino yacht, and the game begins. And
His etiquette, his card etiquette is funnier than the first time. It's great.
Oh, it is. It is very funny. But the we already know that he's the Greek is the best poker player on Earth. But apparently he's also the best poker player in outer space.
So I forgot about
that. Yeah.
Yeah, the guy's like, because you're the best card player on Earth.
And I'm sorry. What? What am I?
It just immediately interrupts me and outer space.
And outer space.
What?
He's been there.
Yeah, I won the Millennium Falcon. Duh. So Charlie catches Pop playing some pool. Hey, wait a minute. You're not even fucking blind. And I'm blind drunk.
Yeah.
So he fucking tears the place apart.
He does.
He fucks this pool hall up.
Real bad. It's an ice cream shop. It shouldn't have. It's not their fault that Mike was showing off in it.
Big elbows the pool table and breaks it in half.
Yeah.
He's a buff dude.
He's very angry.
Meanwhile, Johnny is killing at this poker.
Yeah.
He is winning all of the fucking monies. He has gotten so good at poker that when it's his turn to deal, he chucks a card in the air and it boomerangs back into his hand around the villain's head.
That is, oh yeah.
Awesome. That.
They must have been Australian cards.
All right.
That was dumb. Sorry.
No, it's a boomerang. That's a good joke, I guess.
Moving along, sir.
Either way, Mike has spilled all the beans that Johnny's doing it to get him off all of his charges. That's the arrangement with the Navy.
Oh, okay.
Even though he's on assignment with the Navy because he's in the Navy, mm-hmm. he's worked a side deal so that the Navy can pardon his father's misdemeanors. Because that's what the Navy does.
Which is the only misdemeanor I've seen that's questionable is that he's pretended to be a blind man.
Which isn't even against the law. It's dick.
Yeah.
But I guess he's got some parking tickets and some other things. So
can you do something about that? No, we're the Navy. We have other things to worry about.
I am the Admiral of the Navy, sir. I have to worry about our sports programs in the state of Florida.
Yeah, correct. Johnny wins everything. The Greek is like, I'll give you the entire business. This is what I'm betting. The entire business. My yacht. This gold-plated yacht with a gambling casino and armed guards. This is my last bet. Okay. And now Charlie's like, oh, shit. I got to help Johnny. So he flies in on a parachute. And Johnny's like, well, hold on. I have to have a double P. What's a double P?
You know, a double P.
PP.
So dumb. I thought he had to take a shit. I thought he was going to say poo-poo.
No, it's either way, it's just like his tomfoolery. These mobsters have just had it with this guy.
Yeah, so he takes all his cash and goes to the bathroom. And he drops an apple with some antennas sticking out of it. Signals some dolphins.
Yeah.
The dolphin signal. He comes back and he wins it all. But the mob are going to kill him. And he's like, fuck it. I don't even care. But then Charlie drops in through the fucking roof.
Yes.
And he first is like, I'm going to beat the shit out of you, brother.
Because you're never straight with me this whole time.
But they give the, like, let's not fight each other. Let's fight these guys, but pretend we're fighting each other so they don't see it coming thing. And then they fight the mob.
They don't really. Fighting the mob would imply that the mob is able to fight back.
This shit is amazing. This is what this whole movie has come to.
Yeah, it has brought you here.
They took this scene, wrote it, and we're like, holy shit, this is fucking amazing. We need to build a movie around this.
Yeah, I guess.
Then everything else is just around this thing. It's bananas. Tell me your guys' favorite part. We're not going to break down every fucking hijack.
No, there's too much. They beat these guys up for about 20 minutes.
What's your favorite particular fight maneuver or instance of events that happen in this scene?
So I've got two.
Okay.
The first is the suspender punching, where he's got the guy.
Suspender punching.
And he punches the guy, and he's got a hold of his suspender. The guy goes backwards, and then the suspender brings him back into his fist again, and he punches the dude again.
But he doesn't even punch the guy on the way back. He just holds out his arm, and the suspenders punch his fist with the man's face. Hilarious.
I also liked when the guy got the roulette wheel up his butt.
Okay.
And then he just kind of sat there like, it's in
spinning
there.
Spinning around on the roulette table.
Mm-hmm.
Sammy?
I am going to go with whenever Johnny stops the fight to become the bartender and then serves up some head smashings instead of the drink that they ordered.
My favorite is the Greek comes at them with a gun. He's got a pistol, aims it at him. Apparently it's jammed or it's not loaded or something. So he chucks it at Johnny. Johnny picks up a fucking board off the ground that's ship debris, hits it baseball style, and it just goes straight into the Greek's face.
And knocks him out. It's fantastic.
Hilarious. So they win. They beat up all the guys. How are we going to get back to land? Oh, I already got that taken care of. The dolphins have towed us in. We are at land.
We are at land.
Dolphins have come and towed this boat back to shore. The Navy storms in. Hey, good job, guys. You got the mob. I like your style. You've taken down that sports gambling problem the Navy had in Florida.
You guys are all under arrest for getting beat up by these two guys.
Everybody's under everyone, including Johnny's girlfriend.
But it's okay because he's just going to bail her out and buy her dinner.
Yeah.
Yep.
The Navy gives Charlie a new brand new semi truck.
Yeah. Nicer, I guess, than the
first one.
It was
like the Price is Right moment right there. And you've won a brand new semi. And then everybody starts clapping and he's like, ah!
All right, we're going to flip a coin. We either give the money, we keep the money. If you win, we give the money to the orphanage. If I win, they toss the coin in the air.
Heads is Johnny keeps the money. Tails is Charlie and Mike split the money.
Mm-hmm.
And if it is neither, the orphanage gets all the money.
And Charlie makes a bird call. Yeah. Seagull comes and takes a coin.
Takes the coin. We forgot to mention that Johnny can speak to dolphins.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And crocodiles and hippopotamuses. Mm-hmm. And what was the other one? Turtles.
Well, either way, he has spoken to the dolphins on various occasions. And this is when we learn that Charlie can speak to seagulls.
He speaks seagull. Credits. Shenanigans.
And I love how it ended.
All right.
You didn't see it coming.
Yeah. Let's get into the keep an eye out force first. Who is your favorite furbo? Jackie?
Charlie.
Why Charlie?
Because he's just kind of a giant bear. And he speaks seagull.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was cute that he was in love with the nun. Sammy? And I liked his fighting style.
Sammy?
I'm going to go with Johnny, even though Mike is so much fun. Terrence Hill's comedy is just fucking solid gold.
I think that you can't pick one.
You can't?
These guys are a package deal.
They are. Mike Furpo is just as good, too.
Solo, they're not fun.
Yeah.
Together. Whoa. So I don't have a favorite. They're a package deal.
All right.
Good. I feel like good that choice. Was a trick question.
Yeah. Most outlandish moment, or how did you frame this, Sam?
Out of all of the bullshit they're feeding us in this thing, what's the hardest to swallow?
Okay. I'll go first on this one since I went last. Bud Spencer, Hialeah champion.
Really? I believed that because of the fact I was actually out there doing it.
Because, yes, it did seem like he was playing very well, but it just looked bonkers.
Yeah.
He doesn't look fast. He doesn't look like he can jump very high.
There's one scene where you can obviously tell that it's a stunt dude.
Yeah.
And that they've just blown up his t-shirt to make him look like he's...
And he's wearing a wig.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think it was Bud Spencer.
There's some Bud Spencer playing Hialeah.
Yeah, a little bit, but not the whole thing. That's my, like, nope, not a chance.
Really?
Against all those other skinny, fast assholes. I bet you he could chuck it real hard.
I don't know. The people that they showed us were a bunch of middle-aged mutants.
They just got uglier as they were introducing him. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Jackie?
I'm going to say that the apple communicated to the dolphins to push the ship to shore.
Just anything involved with that.
Pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, the anything that would make a dolphin know exactly which coordinates, because, you know.
Or the dolphins can push boats.
Yeah, that just didn't seem
like, yachts, not just boats, yachts.
Yeah, that thing, no.
I don't think a lot of dolphins.
I think the dolphins probably would have tried to eat the apple, and then when they got stuck in the mouth with a antenna, they would have just been like, fuck this, and they would have hit it and used it as a ball.
Sam?
The Navy. Like, everything to do with the Navy. Like, what are you doing?
You guys should probably have something more important to do.
Everything to do with the Navy in this movie is like, huh? Yeah, so that's mine, is just the Navy.
All right, questions.
Are the Furpos a thing? Like, now, for us, for the Stinker Madness, we have, like, Danton is the ass kicker. You've got the ladies' man with Cody Abilene. Mm-hmm. The Furpos.
They're the ultimate con men or just gamblers?
Like, but you could put them in a situation like, who could do this? The Furpos could handle this situation.
No, because you know what?
Huh.
I'm still sticking with the Buffingtons here.
The Buffingtons are better than the Furpos?
The Buffingtons will always be better than the Furpos.
I don't know about that. The Buffingtons, maybe, I don't think the Buffingtons are covert.
Let me tell you about the Buffingtons from such films as the Malibu Express.
Yes.
The Buffingtons have chosen a path in life, and they are nailing it.
Sure.
This is what the Buffingtons want to do with their lives. This isn't necessarily what the Furpos want to do. Well, I think the Furpos have something different in mind. They may not even know what they want, but they're clearly not achieving it in life. The Buffingtons are killing it.
Well, no, I mean, if you have a clandestine action that you need to send three people in,
Buffingtons.
I would send in the Furpos.
Yeah, I'm with Sam. The Furpos, not the Buffingtons.
They paid their names on their asses, Jackie.
That doesn't do anything for fighting crime.
No, it does not. So does the dad go trucking? And him and Charlie, Mike and Charlie, you know, they spend some time on the road together, really bond. Mm.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Because I was, my other question is basically what happens next. And I think that more of the same. So you got Mike is now able to go back to his street hustle full time because the mob's out of the way. Mm-hmm. So he gets back the prime territory of Miami. So he's doing A-okay, just hustling, you know. Charlie goes back to driving nuns around, and Johnny has to be in the Navy for at least four more years.
This is point A to B, back to A.
Exactly.
Nothing changes because of the events in this film, other than the Navy has slightly less headaches about the gambling.
About their sports programs in Florida.
In Florida. Yeah, that's it. That's the only thing that's resolved in this Nothing film.
Nothing is, yeah. Which is all that it set out to resolve, so good job, guys.
True. Final recommendations. Jackie?
I don't know. I mean, this is going to be really hard for me to not say absolutely to.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I know. Okay, no, I do not have the comedic timing of our friend. In fact, I want to retake that, but I'm pretty sure you won't let me because you're a butthole. So, yeah, I'm going to say absolutely.
I'm going to actually edit that so that you have a whole bunch of reverb and, like, maybe tone down your voice so you're like, absolutely, lootly, lootly, lootly.
Wow.
Make it even more stupid.
Like a truck, what are those called? Monster truck rallies?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
Yep, that's how it's going to go for you.
Featuring Truckosaurus Rex, he eats fucking cars.
Yeah, I'm going to give it an absolutely. I am so just enamored with the whole thing. I loved it. You know, should it be on the stupidest movie podcast or bad movie podcast? I don't know, because I liked it quite a bit.
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic. I thought it was funny, hilarious, intentionally funny. Jokes were delivered properly. Good movie. Liked it a lot. Totally, totally watch it.
Yeah, it's a do.
Oh, we should mention that it's on Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime, so do it.
Yeah,
watch
do it.
It.
You have no excuse. Otherwise, we know you got an account there.
And there's, I think, it's 16 of the 20 are on there. So
damn.
Oh, damn. We'll
and there's a couple
another
other ones. Like, Terrence, they do some independently from each other. And there's one called Super Fuzz that looks pretty interesting.
Yeah,
it's got,
Super Fuzz has been on the list for a while.
Yeah, it's Terrence Hill is a super-powered cop, and Ernest Borgnine is his sidekick.
Yeah. I want to watch that one pretty bad. Jackie, it's your pick next. What have you, you got anything in mind? No, she does not.
Nope. No, good I job. Don't.
Hopefully we get there. Man, we got to do those Samanthas.
I know. Oof. Yeah, if I don't die of frostbite, I'll have a movie picked out. Yeah. It's going to be awesome. It's probably not going to be any Furbo action. But it's going to be cool.
Okay. Enjoy your week. I hope it's a good one. Get to the chopper.
Visit us at www.stinkermadness.com. Follow Stinker Madness on Twitter at Stinker Madness. Please rate and review us on iTunes and Stitcher. Thank you for listening, and get to the chopper.
Oh, man. I'm going to have to really lean back on this episode. I need an easy chair. Leg rest. French massage. Swedish massage.
Swedish massage? That's from another man.
Oh. Sven. What's a massage that's... What's the acceptable...
The sensual massage?
What, Jackie, let's weigh in on this real quick. What's the... What's the proper etiquette for a married man to have a massage?
Professional parlor that's not going to give you a happy ending?
From a man or a woman?
Neither one.
As long as it's at Club Med, you're okay.
I'm not going to Club Med. I'm mostly talking about myself.
You can't go down to that Oriental place on the corner.
Probably can't go to the Oriental place. I know what. I have a guess. I guess
when
I don't know what happens.
You can't
there,
see in the windows. There's a reason.
So who should massage me?
Somebody qualified. I mean, you wouldn't want to go to just any old schmo with a van parked in the alley.
Is it acceptable for me to be uncomfortable with a man massaging me?
Yeah. It's personal preference, right?
Is it okay for me to be uncomfortable with an unattractive woman massaging me?
Well, you know, honestly, no, because I don't want unattractive people massaging me. It scares me. Like, they might steal a butt hair or something and try to make a magic potion. That's, I don't know. Or they might bite you or go crazy on you. I mean, anybody with crazy eyes, you wouldn't want that person doing it.
All right.